Full of Sound and Fury is a podcast for adults by adults containing adult language. Listener discretion is advised.
Well, apparently some people are trying to take America back to the old setup circa 1778 or so. So that's a different story, but.
It's like games in New York.
Yeah. I was trying a different mic setup that I was hoping would be better, but it seems like Google Hangouts won't pick up on it, even though some other apps on my Mac will. So, c'est la vie.
Careful with that no English in this new America.
Right. You're going to kick your ass out. You're going to be gone. They're going to hear it. They listen. Those are some of our
problems. I have to laugh or I'm going to cry.
Yeah. God almighty. It's good you went to London when you did, son.
I guess so. I mean, you know, I don't have a green card. I was born here, but apparently maybe sooner or later that won't matter either.
I don't think that matters a shit.
Yeah.
It's how you look to us whitey. Yeah, we have a little Home Depot color swatch that we just kind of hold up. And
you're about an eggshell. Okay, you can go. You can pass.
That's why I don't go outside anymore. I don't want to get too much of a tan. I might get kicked out. Now tell me, that joke, I didn't intend it, but that joke really sounded like Mooney. You remember Mooney?
Mooney
from
No, I don't. Unfortunately.
Oh God! What's his first name?
Is it R.J. or R. Mooney or something like that?
I can't do it, Omi.
Former writer for Richard.
Yeah, Rock. Yeah. I totally Negrodamus. I can't. Yeah, why am I blanking on his name? I'm so mad at myself.
Paul Mooney,
and
right?
I can't have Paul Mooney? Because I got my mouth pulled up.
There you go. Good job, Ariel.
Paul Mooney, right?
Paul Mooney. Yeah. Thank you. God bless.
I'm glad I got Mooney right.
Yeah, I mean, if you had said Negrodamus, I wouldn't know who you were talking about for some reason. But
look, the same color swatch goes for me, and I'm too white to say Negrodamus on a podcast and not get shot. Now, y'all just Jedi mind tricked me into doing it, but that don't count. That dude is a funny motherfucker, too.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, he is.
God, he's brilliant. He's also 75.
Wow, really?
No shit.
Man.
Well, Chappelle's show has, you know, been off the air for 12 years.
But he was 63 when he was doing that shit.
Yeah.
Man, that's a brilliant motherfucker.
Yeah.
Well, since we've set race relations back in the country back another 20 years, maybe we should start the episode.
Well, that's usually how we go.
Except I don't know if we can really claim that anymore. I feel like the government's got that right now.
Yeah, you're right.
I feel like all we're doing is jumping into a puddle of pig shit that's already been shat. We're not adding any more shit.
Just kind of rolling around in it?
Yeah, yep. We couldn't make this any worse. Really, if it's a puddle of pig shit and you're rolling around in it, you ain't making it any worse. It's already a puddle of pig shit.
Well, with that beautiful visual, welcome back to Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I'm Cyrus Mortazavi, currently in Kirkland, Washington. Haven't been deported yet. Proud of it. With me from Austin, Texas, still in Austin, Texas for the time being, is Ariel Rodriguez.
Hello, yes, yeah, still not deported, but, you know, that's pending as if everything else.
Need to be deported, ironically, because of his podcast name, is Keyshawn Xavier.
We're changing that to White Keyshawn.
Wow.
Got to be safe these days. We might be in deep shit otherwise. I'll have people breaking down my door.
We're back in the shit again already.
Where is he? There's a Keyshawn in his house. We tracked him here. We know his IP. Come on. Where are you hiding him?
Your wife is going to be like, what the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Keyshawn, what? My wife would take all of 2 seconds before realizing that I'm retarded. She would turn right at me and just be like, yeah, yeah, he's Keyshawn. Take him away.
No, she's always known that, man.
Yep.
Listen, she said for better or for worse, this is your worst.
Yep.
It's in the contract.
Hey, look, I thought Keyshawn was one of my finer moments. I wasn't running up and down that basketball court.
No, you were not.
Fuck that noise. Go deep.
Well, despite of this political opening, we're here actually to talk about Westworld. I did notes, so I'm going to pull those up.
Oh, shit.
Wow, all right.
No. I got to have a little bit of structure to this.
I was just going to start with it was good.
That's a great place to start. So remind me, I feel like HBO started plugging this thing during Game of Thrones season 6. Do I have that right?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah, I think you're right. Okay.
Yeah. Now, I know that was just a marketing strategy, but I think you can also infer that they felt pretty good about it. That they had something special on their hands, not just a good show. And having watched it now, I would also concur with that. And I'm curious, and I want to hear from everybody on the virtual panel here. When did you guys realize that Westworld wasn't just good, it was special?
I didn't.
Errol, you go first.
I mean, I think from episode 1, I saw elements that were special. But I was honestly, even at the end of episode 1, I was kind of skeptical of if they could go the distance. So I think once I got a couple more episodes in, I started to get the impression, okay, this is special. This is building a world and going through a story that is deeper than, or at least they hinted at something deeper, and they actually are starting to go through with it, you know, to pay off some of that depth in a couple episodes in. Then I was really in for the ride, because I knew it was going to be something special.
Was there an episode or a scene that kind of clicked?
I mean, I just think the more – I can't think of a specific scene for me, but I think the more they showed that the hosts were going to be the critical characters and had personalities and we were going to follow their stories, I think that's when it started to click for me. But I can't think of one specific scene where that, you know, really hit hard.
That's fair. How about you, Key?
It's funny. I'm not coming into this trying to be the contrarian, because normally, you know, I'm all on board. But I never got to the point where I was like, "Oh, this is a special one."
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, not the way that like Lost did it or Game of Thrones did it, where I'm just like sitting back going, "Oh." This one's more like, it was a very slow burn, and it's got a good story, but not to where it was just like, oh, grab hold, here we go, you know? And maybe that's just the way I roll watching shows, you know, where, you know, once it gets me, then I'm got. This was more like I enjoyed a bunch of it, but again, I came in really late. I mean, the whole party had happened by the time I watched it. I watched it over Christmas, and which was only, you know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I kind of binged it over 2 weeks. And I mean, for me, it was, it got better. It's absolutely got better as it went. And there were certainly by like episode 4, I think was the one that I was just like, yeah, okay. As soon as the blonde got her gun, I think that was 4, but that might've been later. But there was a moment where I was like, okay, they're going deeper. Let's see where this goes. And I'm enjoying it. I'm still enjoying it. I absolutely intend to watch the next season, but it wasn't one where it's just like, oh, this is one of those ones that's, you know, going to grab hold. I know it has grabbed hold of everybody. I'm excited about this podcast, because I'm hoping you guys can maybe enlighten me. And I might go back and rethink it and be like, oh, okay. All right. I missed that. That kind of thing. So I'm eager to hear what your guys' thoughts are on everything.
So you were in when they started arming women.
Well, at that point, I was sitting there going, oh, she's proactive. That's the word I'm looking for. When she went,
mistress of her own destiny.
Yeah. There's something going on. Mm-hmm. Although, for the life of me, you know, I don't want to get ahead of you, but by the end, I thought maybe she was never proactive.
No, she wasn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But right.
The entire point was she never was.
Yep.
And I think that's, I don't, again, I'm trying not to get ahead of you, but I'm still struggling with if the hosts actually are anything other than what they were intended to be as far as Hannibal Lecter's plans for him.
I think that will actually be the discussion of season two.
I agree.
I mean, just to answer it succinctly. You know, Key, it's interesting you mentioned episode 4 was the one where you were in. That's the episode Brubaker wrote.
Of course.
Yeah, right.
Of course.
Well, I guess I'm the odd man out here. For me, it was the first reveal when we find out that Teddy's a host and not a visitor.
Mm. No kidding.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay. This is, all right. We no.
Son of a gun.
No. Yeah. But I mean, it was 5 minutes in. I didn't realize I was looking for twists yet.
Oh.
You know what I mean? It's literally, I don't think they'd even cut to the first fucking credits yet.
when did you start watching it, calendar-wise?
At the beginning.
God damn it.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Calendar-wise, like when it came out, did you watch it?
Premiere night.
Okay. So you had an entirely different experience than I did.
Yeah, I did the weekly television show thing again. And okay. I did not care for it.
So you had to like sit, make time out of your day to sit down and look at that happen. Or did
not
you
really. It's HBO. It comes on 7 times a day when it comes out.
Oh, okay.
My decision was, which one am I going to watch?
See, I came along so late. You know, I knew there was a huge following. And so I kind of came in going, okay, there's going to – and I'd heard descriptions, you know, lost in the West. And
I think that was the original title.
Wait, not Twist World?
Those are both excellent episodes for this episode. We'll see which one wins at the end.
Lost in the West.
Lost her.
Lost harder.
Yeah. I was going to say the same.
dumb.
I had to cut my mic. That got me so well. I don't know why.
Oh, okay. I never realized that when we actually made you laugh, you cut the mic. I thought you didn't find us funny anymore.
Well, there's an element of that. No, it's not that. It just, I don't know how much me cackling madly adds to the podcast.
I've never given it any thought. Otherwise, I'd probably get a mic and cut my mic when I'm cackling. See, I don't know if that was really funny and you cut the mic. Or that's just muted silence and disdain.
Well, that's the game within the podcast. Now you have to wonder about that constantly.
All right, so... You, Teddy, that's right. I call him Cyclops. Teddy, yeah. What did you think of the introduction to Bill?
William, you mean?
Well, wasn't Bill the... No.
Bill the man in black. Man,
right? The man in black. Did they tell you his name? I thought his name was Bill.
William and Billy.
That is a derivative of William.
Yeah.
Yeah, but did they ever actually give a name to the older man until you found out it was him?
No. Nope. That was the point.
Oh, okay.
Very, very, very cynical point.
Well, what did you think of his introduction is what I'm asking.
Well, like I said, it got my attention. I was like, oh, this is awful. Westworld was definitely not Disneyland.
So one of the things that's kind of gone through my head is, so, you know, he went through that entire adventure in his youth. And then as an old man, he just grabs her and rapes barn whenever he wants. That's fallen pretty far.
Yeah, and again, that was the point, I think, with that character.
Did you see it coming?
I did not. I had it spoiled, quote unquote, when I by the Ringer.com article about it the week before the finale, when they mentioned the that Reddit had made a pretty strong case for it. And this was basically the new R plus L equals J. And then once it was pointed out to me, it was all I could see. And I felt super dumb for not having seen it.
I knew it almost the second they did it. I mean, almost from the start. And
I remember you telling me that offline. What tipped you off?
You know, I think it was the fact that there was nothing that tied it to the present. They didn't have the ties. You know how you're like watching a show and they go from one scene and one set to a different scene, different set, but somehow there's some kind of interrelation, but they never had that with, I think that was the thing. Like I suspected it within the first episode of them even having Billy there. And by the second one, I was like convinced that, you know, oh, he's going to be, you know, he's all good and everything. He's going to end up being the Man in Black. I didn't know the name Man in Black because I was steadfastly refusing to read anything online about Westworld. So I just thought of him as the old Gene from Apollo 13.
Well, that certainly changes the your interpretation of the character, I imagine. Where in the hell did I crash? All right, Ariel, how about you? Like, how much of this did you pick up, like, on the fly?
Not so much, but I did start to feel a little suspicious when the same actor playing a host, would show up in a scene with Billy and his brother-in-law, or soon-to-be brother-in-law, whatever that guy's name was. And
Logan,
that was it. And then the same host had a different role in the scenes with everyone else. Like the guy that was the head of the outlaw gang, I forget his name. Lawrence, I think, right? And so Lawrence is like in Billy's timeline as one thing, and he's a slightly different character, but close enough that if you weren't paying attention, it would be easy to blend the two together in what ends up being the present day. That he's
that makes me feel better.
So like, there's, you know, they're pretty coy about it. And I think they play a lot of they have a lot of opportunities since they write the plot to kind of confuse you on purpose to keep the story going. Yeah. The mysteries at bay. But I started to get suspicious. And then I read online that during a review of an episode that, you know, there's this theory that the Man in Black and Billy were the same. And I'm like, OK, I can see that. But I was kind of not sure until they revealed it on that episode.
I'll tell you, I did not see. And forgive me, I don't know the names. What was the black dude's name?
Bernard.
Bernard. I did not see Bernard being a host.
Oh, no, me neither.
Oh, boy, that one got me. That one was
okay. Cool. Okay. Thank God. I'm starting to feel dumb.
No. That about everything else I saw coming. I mean, even to the point of like, you know, the setup with Hannibal Lecter, you know, killed and all that kind of stuff. I saw all of that, but boy, Bernard, they completely got me.
Yeah, when he couldn't see the doorway to the lab, I started to get like goosebumps because I was like, holy crap, you can't see that. And only host can't see that.
Right.
It was goosebump inducing. And when she showed him the picture and was like, I don't
see anything.
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh. So did you see anticipate that he was based on Arnold?
No.
Okay, I didn't either.
No, everything to do with that.
Which was a nice, a neat little flip there.
Oh, help me out. Where's that actor been in other shows that we've seen?
The guy that plays Bernard?
Everywhere. Felix Leiter, or most probably.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you, that's it.
He's also, he was also in The Hunger Games. He's also in Interstellar, thank God.
Oh, right. Yeah, he was in Interstellar. Yep.
I love that guy.
Jeffrey Wright.
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's one of those that guys, man. And that's as high a compliment as I can get.
Character actor is the the colloquial term.
I like that guy.
Yeah, he's Jeffrey Wright is phenomenal.
Oh man,
dude's a chameleon.
Yes, and he was brilliant, just brilliant in this thing. I think he made the entire show.
Do you like him more than Hopkins?
Yep.
Okay.
I love Hopkins. Don't get me wrong. That's something bitch can act six ways from Sunday. But I think that this whole thing would have cratered immensely without Bernard's acting chops.
It's hard to see anyone else in the role now.
No, yeah. I mean,
I can't even envision anyone there.
No, yeah.
Just the way he, how he played it was critical for the entire. I mean, he was the linchpin. And I sure didn't. I thought the girl was the linchpin the entire way. And everything that had to do with Bernard got me. I don't know. I'm not sure she is. I think Bernard's the linchpin, or was the linchpin.
I mean, I think Dolores is the linchpin for Bernard's plans, or rather
Arnold's
plans. So she's
still turns out Ford's.
Yeah, and because I think Ford at the end, even though they make you think the opposite the whole show, the whole first season, he's picking up Arnold's torch in a way. So like Dolores is sort of the pawn, if you will, or whatever. Choose your chess piece depending on that. But she's being manipulated by Ford, but Ford is picking up where Arnold left off. And Bernard's a part of that too, in a sense. It's weird. I wonder what Bernard will become in season two, as he kind of knows his legacy now, in a sense.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking more him than her. Is exactly for what you just said.
There's a what looks like a throwaway line, but it's Westworld, so I don't think there's such a thing in Westworld, the quote-unquote throwaway line, where he tells, after the reveal, Ford tells Bernard, now that you know, I'm hoping that you'll continue to help me. And the double entendre there is that Bernard maybe is supposed to help this insurrection that Ford has been seeding for three decades.
Oh, yeah, I totally agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right. I don't know. I mean, Dolores, as you know, with her Wyatt protocols, if you will, apparently is a big part of it. But maybe Bernard's got a bigger role to play yet.
What do you see Dolores's role as? I mean, do you see her really doing anything other than what she was instructed to do?
I mean, to
Dolores solves the maze.
Yeah. I know, but wasn't she programmed to even do that by Anthony Hopkins?
Programs do that?
Yeah.
No. The point of the maze was to see if they could actually achieve higher consciousness. If you program that, it's by definition, not higher consciousness.
So, wait a minute. So, you're not taking that whole maze thing as being part of the whole. See, I interpreted all of that as being Anthony Hopkins, one more level of the game that he was coding.
Well, Arnold created the maze.
Right, but I thought that even though Arnold created it, Hopkins was taking that and putting it into his game as opposed to him trying to actually give them free will.
That was the Man in Black, aka William's misinterpretation of the maze. As the catchphrase is, the maze is not meant for you. It was never about the visitors. The maze was for the hosts.
Well, I know I totally get that story. I just thought that story was actually the story that Anthony Hopkins' character. What's Anthony? Damn it.
Ford.
Robert Ford.
Ford. Okay. That was Ford's. Like, he took it and then for a bigger play. And the debate is, was he trying to set him up to achieve consciousness, or is it part of a larger Machiavellian, no, I'm programming a larger story and it's going to involve the whole world?
My interpretation, it was, and based on his ending soliloquies in episode 10, is that he pretended to be the latter because he was setting up the former.
I don't know.
Yeah, to me, Ford's. So Arnold creates the maze, and he thinks the maze is what people need, something to strive for, what the hosts need, something to strive for to achieve consciousness. And I think Ford's twist on that, what he learned that apparently Arnold didn't quite see, or he thinks he did, Arnold didn't see, is that they need to suffer. They need some sort of suffering. Emotional pain is also a component to generating your own consciousness. And I think that's what Ford was trying to create for the hosts, you know, in various ways. And I think he says that like literally at some point right before the end.
Yeah, I remember all that. I thought that the big like cliffhanger for the end of the season was the question, okay, is this all a big setup, that it's a larger game that Ford has set up, or is it he really is trying to allow them to become the next generation of sentient beings?
I would say the latter.
See, yeah. But I'm asking you, not is it one or the other, but you didn't take it that was being teed up at the end of the season as that's the big question, that's the cliffhanger for next season?
Oh, I interpreted the end as Ford just gave them a big push into consciousness, and now the robots, the hosts, are going to have to figure out how to deal with their newfound kind of freedom.
Their freedom.
Maybe this will help me.
And the coming fight against those who are going to want to put them back in the box.
All right. Right. Forgive me. I don't know all the characters' names. I'm going to call her the chief whore.
Maeve.
What was her name?
Maeve.
Maeve.
Okay.
It's a madam if you have to go there.
That's the preferred nomenclature, I believe.
Oh, not in Texas. She's a good old whore. What are you talking about? What's wrong? Jesus.
Can you at least give her a title in there, like Commodore Whore or something?
Chief Whore.
No, not even that. You're just no.
I thought Chief is a title.
This horrible. Is going in bad places. It's going to bad places.
Well, it's Westworld.
Yeah. Okay. So my question to you is her ending, where she was on the train and then saw the mom and the child and then got off the train. What was your interpretation of that? And this is related back to the other thing.
Like Dolores, she's a person now, even though she doesn't want to be. And she's gonna go find her kid.
Yeah, you can't let it go.
So wait a minute. Don't you remember, or I can't remember if it was the same episode earlier in that episode or the previous episode, when they're sitting there holding and saying, you've been programmed for all this, and one of the characters, one of the other guy, I can't remember who read it, but they're like, oh, you're going to do here.
It was Bernard.
Was it Bernard that said you're...
I'm pretty sure it was Bernard who was like, yeah, someone put all this crap in here.
Well, yeah, but then they say... You're going to get on the train, and then they cut it off. Do you remember that?
Oh.
You don't remember it?
I don't remember the trail off.
Somebody interrupted them once they got to the part where they said, you're going to get on the train, and then you're going to – and they interrupted. Or I think she slapped it down and said – and so they called the train. And what I'm taking from that was that, no, this is – she's programmed. To do that.
I think that's intentional, Keyshawn, and I suspect that's going to be her driving plot line in season two.
Well, wait a minute.
It's for us, the viewers, to wonder if that's programmed or if she's now sentient, truly.
But I'm carrying that to the previous discussion, saying that all of it with the setup with Bernard, with the killing Ford, that all of it is the same big fundamental question of, all right, did Ford program them to do all of what they're doing now?
Right.
Or is it...
Are you asking how firm is his hand at the tiller?
No, I'm really asking if... I mean, I'm really asking, did you guys see that question being the cliffhanger for the next season to start speaking to? Or did you guys go, no, it's this, and didn't even and think it's answered, and there is no cliffhanger like that?
I didn't see the cliffhanger. My impression was it's on like Donkey Kong now.
So y'all's impression was they're sentient, and here we go.
I think
they're on the path to sentience, and here we go.
Yeah, I think they're on the path, and they're still. I think they're still going to play with the theme of in season two. The theme of how much of their personality and their decisions is programmed versus what is their own decision making, and it's going to be part of the. I think part of the struggle of the host is going to be in season two, the actual in real life fight against their oppressors, and then the other fight that they're going to fight is establishing themselves with consciousness, fighting their programming versus who they want.
Grappling with their newfound humanity.
Exactly. I think there's going to be two of those.
And I guess why I would suspect the cliffhanger thing might be wrong, and this is just, you know, a guess on my part, is we just did a season of that.
True.
And I think it's unlikely they would continue to mine that particular mine, to use the same word a lot. Mine.
Mine, mine, mine.
I'm now a seagull.
I don't know. I feel like it's a different question as opposed – I mean, it's a riff off of Ariel's. I agree with Ariel entirely. It's just I see it as a variant of not, all right, is this our programming or not, but rather is this specific thing that we're doing now part of a game that Ford set up? Not just is the programming versus sentience, but specifically the question of, no, is this a larger game that Ford himself programmed? Is that, and it's a little bit, it's a variant. It's not opposing what y'all are saying, but and that to me, that was my favorite part, was that cliffhanger going, oh, has Ford... Have they teed this up, or am I reading tea leaves? And I feel like
if you are, I'm not going to take you to task for that, because that's a lot of the fun and genius of Westworld.
Well, yeah. The only problem is that if I'm reading tea leaves, and the reality is no, I missed it.
But still, I mean, that's part of the fun, right? I mean, you don't know until they reveal it, so you can read tea leaves all you want.
Except everybody else. Else is like, this is special, this is amazing, and I'm like, wait a minute, I feel this is pretty good and it's got a great cliffhanger, but I'm not getting, maybe I missed something and I'm reading it wrong, and there's something awesome that like if I looked at it this way it would be so much better. You see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, I don't know that it's that much of a worry.
Yeah, I'd probably buy this question too much.
One of the things that I think is really awesome about the show is that because it is so well structured, just incredibly so, that I'm excited to rewatch season one. Because there's going to be so much shit I didn't catch, or we'll have like three or four different meanings now.
True. Yeah, you're right.
I know there's just tons of that in there.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my wife to watch it, but she watched the first episode, and as soon as we got to the rape scene in the barn, that was pretty much it. And I was like, God damn it.
Oh. Well, so she did what I did, but went the other way. Nope.
I have to ask, did he rape her?
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's implied, never shown.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the takeaway that I had was he did. But I know that a question I had several weeks later after watching the finale – was I went back and started thinking about, well, all right, what did he do in there? And did he really rape her, or did he do something else?
Okay, a follow-up question. What else would he have done?
Scalper.
Wow.
What does it say about our society that they would have shown that and not the other thing? Nothing good, right?
Yeah.
I feel like we need our own maze.
Oh, man.
And at the end of it is just decency.
God, so many bad jokes.
Oh. Yeah. It is a hard show to watch in a lot of ways, because it's it's showing a lot of ugly truths about people, I think, which makes it pretty damn compelling. And it's why I would categorize it as special.
It's got its own take. You know, it's... You know, The Walking Dead has one way of showing people in the worst and best, and Westworld's got a completely different way.
That is actually it's pretty insightful. They are both horrors.
I didn't mean it to be. I'm sorry.
No, it is. And someone else kind of threw that out there. I think I probably read it on The Ringer because that's where I get a lot of my pop culture. Pointing out that Westworld is not actually a Western, it's a horror.
A whore?
A horror.
Oh.
It has whores in it.
Shit.
Led by Commodore Whore.
I mean, originally, the whole concept, I mean, goes back to a Michael Crichton movie. So, I mean, it's sort of, it still has that Michael Crichton roots of, you know, the science runs amok, yes, but it reveals more about humanity than the actual, like, horrors being generated, you know, in real time in the story. Just like Jurassic Park, for example.
Yeah, they were generating a lot of whores. I'm sorry.
There did appear to be a lot of women of questionable character down in that cellar.
I said something insightful earlier, and that's not what I'm supposed to bring to the podcast.
No, so you're running away from that, huh?
Horses. I'm going to go back to beating dead horses as quick as I can.
I'm not going to reprogram you.
Make as many horror jokes in the next 30 seconds as I possibly can. Make sure America knows Keyshawn's keeping it real.
White Keyshawn.
Stinks.
Whoa. Almost slipped there.
Oh, it's a Matrix.
Okay, so this is a very specific question to the only people who have watched Westworld and The Crown. But I posted it on social media, and I think it's worth a conversation worth having, especially since Key just went off on how good Hopkins was in this. I think I like Hopkins in the role just fine, and I like John Lithgow in The Crown as Sir Anthony Hopkins, Sir Winston Churchill, excuse me, quite a bit. I think if you swap those guys in those projects, though, both shows are better.
Hmm.
Would you guys agree with that, or am I just smoking crack?
Nah. I don't think Lithgow can sit down there in a basement and have a really edge of your seat, what in the hell is going on here, drinking session with Wild Bill Hickok.
Lithgow has a creepier look when he wants to cultivate it, and I think that would have served the character of Robert Ford even better than Hopkins did. Not that the guy who played Hannibal Lecter brilliantly doesn't have that, but in his career, Lithgow has done. You know, he's also another one of those guys who can do just about anything you throw at him.
You're right, but I think that creepier look goes better with the character he was playing on The Crown than Ford.
Well, to that point, I would argue that Hopkins looks more like Churchill.
Yeah, I mean, John Lithgow.
Lithgow did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen The Crown, but just talking about the casting, thinking about casting only, isn't John Lithgow a little tall to be Winston Churchill?
Yeah, extremely so.
Yeah, but he was hunched the entire thing. It was great.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't want. I couldn't take. I love Lithgow too much in that role to take him out of it.
Okay.
I enjoyed the shit out of that. And I loved Anthony Hopkins as Ford. I wouldn't want to change a thing because just the menace that he can portray, even when he's being kind, I don't think Lithgow can do that. Lithgow's more over the top, and that's what made Lithgow good for close to Ford.
Yeah, we'll never know. It was just an interesting mental experiment for me. There's one line in particular, in I think the first or second episode, where it's Dolores talking to Ford, to Ford, where she kind of has like this a reverie where she's like, "Are you a friend that I know from a very long time ago?" And then he gets real quiet. And no, I wouldn't say that at all, Dolores. I wouldn't say that at all.
Oh, I remember that.
And I started picturing Lithgow saying, and I was like, oh, that would have been better still.
Hmm.
Oh, I don't think so. I don't know, but maybe my imagination is not as good.
I don't know. You invented like a whole different take on season two.
I don't know. Anthony Hopkins' menace. It just seemed like.
Yeah, that's
part
fair.
Of the. And then you just watching him going, oh, there's evil afoot. You know, there is. Just look right at him and see it. And I don't know Lithgow does that. Lithgow's more – I keep on thinking of Lithgow. The biggest
– That's why I guess what I think it's even better still.
Is it Cliffhanger? Wasn't he the bad guy in Cliffhanger?
God, yes.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you were the two guys that watched that movie. Okay.
Oh, you haven't?
When I was a child.
Okay, you need to watch that movie.
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Yes, you do. For not.
Hang on, I got to cut my mic. I'm laughing again.
No, watch it for Lithgow. That's the okay. thing. Because once you've seen that, it's kind of hard of thinking of Lithgow as a villain.
Oh, you're saying he blows it?
Not blows it, but it's a Lithgowian take of a villain. And God, that's what I see him doing. I haven't seen him do something else.
I mean, like that. God. I can't even form a sentence. Like, the writing in that movie was just, you can't blame Lithgow for that.
No, that's true. But it's just, that's what I think of when we talk about Lithgow as the villain. Probably the only reason why I even feel the necessity to open my mouth and push back on that is because I'm thinking of Cliffhanger.
Challenge.
Better or worse?
Is Robert Ford the villain of the piece?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Well, he did kill a lot of people.
But they were all bad. To use an Arnold Schwarzenegger take on the situation.
No, they were. I mean, I understand, you know, there's a lot of pushback against corporate America these days. But goddamn, your board members, fuck you. You got to die.
Yeah, I mean, he did a lot of questionable things, and I think you could say the same for Arnold, even.
Sure. Arnold more so.
But Arnold.
Arnold's plan was worse, as you guys may recall.
Yeah.
What was Arnold? I can't remember.
Kill everyone in the park.
Yeah. He wanted them to, like, on day one, just to murder all the visitors.
Well, nobody only wanted to murder all the hosts.
No, Arnold was pro-host. In the end, they both were.
I thought that the idea was it's too cruel to and again, this is my recollection. It's probably why I got to go watch it again to enjoy it. But my takeaway lodged itself in my head was that to allow them to gain sentience at this point, it's better to kill them all off and just make them robots. But I didn't think that the proposal was, let's kill every motherfucking thing in the park. Was that really?
That was definitely his call to arms.
Wait a minute. What the fuck is the point of Arnold going, kill all the visitors, kill everybody?
He didn't want the park to open.
Yeah. Once he got into it and, you know, dealing, as it turns out, with, you know, the death of his son, he kind of retreated into the park and didn't want to, like, he realized what was going to happen inevitably ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
And wasn't down with that because he kind of saw the host potential.
Right, and so he wanted to kill all the hosts, but was it imparted that he wanted to kill the visitors too? When did that I missed it.
I think it was. I believe it was episode 9 where they have that conversation. He didn't enact the plan, obviously. His backup plan was to have Dolores run amok with the Wyatt Protocol and kill him.
Right. And I thought even there it was, well, I'm going to kill all the hosts, and even that he was doing on his own to fuck thing up.
Correct.
But I didn't think that it was like a, where was the fallback? I thought that was just the plan, that if they wouldn't stop the park, then he was going to stop it himself by having the Wyatt Protocol.
Right. He was trying to make the host look so dangerous they couldn't be trusted.
Right. But I didn't see it where kill all the visitors. And I'm only pushing on this simply because that changes a lot about the whole Arnold dynamic. I thought Arnold was like, we need to free them. They're a new sentient being we've created. And then we realized that he couldn't get anybody to go down that path. It's better to stop it than it is to allow this to happen. But all of that is with an aura of goodwill, not Arnold's going to kill everybody.
Maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, in fact, I think you probably are correct.
Well, y'all are giving me enough to at least enjoy rewatching this son of a bitch. Because I'm like, oh, shit, maybe Arnold was horrible. I always saw the Arnold thing, if anything, Arnold was like this. And it's kind of interesting. I thought of Arnold as this faceless good guy.
I think that's fair.
Long ago. Yeah. Now, how much of it, you know, then the bad guy I was taking as Anthony Hopkins, Ford, that.
Which was a deliberate construct of the show. It's right. The final twist.
Right. But the evil of Ford, I thought, was the threat that he's taking the good guy's strategy and completely fucking it up by essentially putting it as part of a story.
I don't know. The impression I got was he was always trying to help the hosts in modern times, always trying to help the hosts achieve consciousness. He just had his own way of doing it. And when someone from the park or the corporation interfered, he killed them, which was not good.
But he programmed Maeve to get off that train.
Maybe he did, but he always wanted Dolores to achieve consciousness. And I think Teddy as well, and several of the others,
So he was playing favorites?
No, I think he has some plan, and we don't get revealed the entire plan.
I believe, and this is going to be a strange comparison, but I believe like Marvel Comics' Magneto, he always saw the inevitability of a conflict between humans and the hosts. And I think that's why he looks more vicious, because he kind of realized they were going to have to shoot their way out of that park, so to speak.
Well, I mean, he comes right out and says that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he leans into it. He just goes right for it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a cause he believes strongly enough to martyr himself for it at the end.
I'm getting what I wanted out of this podcast, because now I can go back, rewatch the show, and try and look at it with y'all's eyes.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to push this home, I think therein lies the brilliance of Westworld. It's got a lot of layers.
Yeah, apparently, you know, three gentlemen can watch the show and come away with three different things, or at least two different things. I don't know how different you two guys are on your takes, but
I think we're mostly matched up.
I saw more whores.
I thought it was covered in dongs, and I couldn't get past that.
I mean, how hard it must be to be an actor on that show if you're a host and be just naked in front of the camera constantly.
It's a bad choice of words.
Yeah, okay, sorry. Difficult.
You're probably worried about it constantly. Oh, God.
Just
better behave.
You know.
Stay in your hole.
It's just like, damn, man. I mean, you're without clothes, and then you have to act like an automaton, basically, and kind of pull that off in a very serious way the entire time.
So many of them were so good at it.
Yeah, I mean.
That was the impressive part.
Tandy Newton, I think, probably spent the vast majority of her screen time without clothes on.
Her and Rodrigo Santoro, man.
Yeah, both of them. And it's just like, wow.
Got some cold asses in that show.
Harder.
That was a reach. You guys got a best moment?
Bernard.
Yeah, I think the Bernard reveal is probably one of the best moments to me.
Yeah, me too. What about you?
I'm thinking. I that may be the answer.
No, wait a minute. Which Bernard?
If Reddit hadn't spoiled it for me by pointing out what I should have evidently been obvious to me, I think the Man in Black's reveal would have been bigger still, though.
But
I don't know if that counts when so many people apparently picked up on it.
Yeah, I saw it coming, so I didn't feel anything other than, yeah, of course. But
they tried their damnedest to keep it under wraps, though.
Which Bernard?
They went to.
To me, the one where that revealed that he was a host.
Oh, so not the one where it reveals that he's Arnold.
I mean, if he's a host and Ford built him, to me, that the next logical conclusion is he built him to look like his friend, because he wouldn't just randomly build one, you know?
I didn't go there.
Okay.
I'll be honest, I didn't either.
But to me, like, as soon as I figured out he was a host, I'm like, oh, he's Arnold. To me, that was
shit.
That was where my brain, the neurons, I guess, just fired in the right direction.
Yeah. Huh.
Another big one for me was when, and this is not the best one, but one of the cooler ones is when now that you know he's Arnold, and they start to really drive home that there are two timelines that we're watching simultaneously here. When he has the conversation with Dolores, I need you to kill me.
Yeah.
That's when the final act of the show really started to pick up. And
well, wait a minute, you're talking about Arnold saying, "I need you to kill me."
Yeah. He basically, you know, planned his suicide, you know, with her. And again, it goes back to that line. Are you and I friends from a long time ago? And once again, we have more meaning attached to that when he says no, because you killed my best friend.
Right.
And you didn't pull the trigger. You were the gun.
So I have to ask this because it was going through my head so much while watching the show. Arnold, Bernard, was the next version going to be Charlie?
Alpha Beta Charlie?
Yeah, I mean, maybe, right?
I think if you took Bernard's name, his full
Hold
name.
Hold up, isn't Bernard's kid or isn't Arnold slash Bernard's child named Charlie?
Maybe
oh,
you're right.
Oh, shit.
Hold on. I got something even better
for
you.
Podcast.
If you take Bernard's name and you jumble the letters or read it in reverse or whatever, you get Arnold's name. Like, it's Bernard's name is an anagram of Arnold's name.
No, it isn't. There's no L in it.
No, Bernard's full name, first and last name.
God damn it.
Well, I knew what you meant, Ariel.
I had no idea. Fuck you and your... Get out of this country.
Hold up. Westworld is an anagram of Keyshawn. Did you know that?
Do you know Westworld is an anagram of poor?
Jesus.
Oh. Oh, yeah. There's the moment I look for every podcast right there.
The whore moment?
No, poor day. Poor show. Oh, my God.
All right, any season 2 predictions?
There's going to be a character named David.
Okay.
Arnold, Bernard, Charlie. There's got to be a David.
Yeah, he's in Prometheus.
If there's a
there you go.
David, there's a David. That next podcast after the season premiere is going to be some shit. I called it.
I mean,
God, there's a David.
In all seriousness, I think thematically what I was saying earlier is what I expect to see, which is the hosts battling not only in the physical world, their oppressors, but also, you know, battling their own, you know, kind of struggle towards consciousness.
In the Matrix?
Sure, if you want to think of it that way. They call it the maze instead, but sure. Yeah.
I think that's a good starting point for them to build a season, battling humanity whilst battling their own newfound humanity.
Yeah.
There's something poetic about that.
And I think you'll see different characters, different hosts struggle with that in different ways. And so they'll get their own subplots, and that's cool.
Where's it set?
Well, I think it's still mostly set in Westworld, but there will be like some sort of meta.
Really?
Know, or like the corporation will have its own, you know, setting somewhere. Maybe it's just a control.
I would like to see some off-park stuff.
Yeah.
I thought the park was done.
No, I think the park is the battleground. I think that's where the war happens.
Well, wait a minute. So there's a couple things. First of all, the extent of the park. Obviously, they showed us that the park is much more than just Westworld.
Correct. A throwback to the film.
Yeah.
And so there's certainly settings in other, let's call the park, the larger park as a whole, as opposed to just the West world, there's other worlds. So they could certainly be expanding and tripping into other worlds. But the thing that I'm scratching my head about is they just killed off the whole fucking board of Westworld. And so.
Yeah. And there's going to be hell to pay for that.
Exactly. Yeah. And to me,
shareholders are coming.
Well, yeah. Right. So to me,
that's just terrifying.
This is just moving out into the real world. There is no more park.
No, I mean, the park still exists physically. I mean, I think
it still exists physically, but no one's going in there and pretending to be a cowboy anymore.
No, but people are going and try to pacify the host now. So
correct.
Westworld becomes the battleground that they physically fight in.
Key, we're saying that the episodes will still take place within the park, but what we're positing is that the construct of these of narratives within the park will be gone because right. as you pointed out, the park can no longer continue with its animatronic denizens in open revolt.
And I guess I'm scratching my head, going, if you've gained sentience and you're supposedly have the ability to think at all, then the first thing I would think of is I need to go hide amongst the masses and not stay in the spot where all the robots are.
Is that why you're so convinced that Maeve came back due to programming?
Because
that choice would run counter to that plan.
I'm only convinced that Maeve's going back due to programming simply because of that throwaway. If it was whatever line it was,
I don't believe it's throwaway at all. I think it's there on purpose. You picked up on something big there. Yeah.
That Anthony Hopkins, that Ford programmed it. And that, so there's something afoot that he programmed that's going on with her. I like Ariel's take that, well, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's supported for sentience for some. That doesn't mean he's supported for sentience for all.
Or that everyone's path to sentience is the same, which is, I think, what I was really trying to say.
Right. Or if even they're on a path to sentience, which is my question.
Sure. And they may have you questioning that the whole second season for some characters. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. The whole thing is a Ford game. And it all could really be just Ford was pissed off and you're not going to play with my toys. And he set about, you know, destroying the playset. And I thought he alluded to something like that in one of his lines.
Yeah, he did. That was what Arnold attempted to do.
Well, right. I thought
basically a mercy killing.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Same thing, different purpose, right? Or different driving force. Same thing. And so that's what I'm scratching my head, going, I don't know which one's going to be happening. So I'm going to enjoy that. I'm just sitting there going, if these things are supposed to be even a whit of intelligence, that the ones that are gaining sentience would be completely stupid to go, well, all the robots are here, I'm going to stay here when all the worlds are coming. I would think that it would just press the next season to be entirely outside of the park. I mean, the park's said and done. It's over. They're going to nuke that shit.
I think they're going to fight their way to get out of the park. I think getting out of the park is probably a goal, but I think they're still in the park when we start in season two, and they have to fight their way out.
Do you guys think we'll see a Cypher host?
Oh, maybe.
Someone who wants to stay in the Matrix?
Maybe.
Did you have that holstered? Or was,
nope.
Did that come off topic? I love that question. A host maybe. That's just like, let me go back to Horn.
Of course it's that kind of host, not the farmer host or the train robber host.
Why would the farmer want to go back? I could be a badass killer robot in the future. I could be a farmer. Fuck that. I'm going to be a robot in the future. But if you're a whore.
Wow.
I mean, pimping ain't easy.
Establishing first principles.
Now, if you're Bill, now what's his name? God damn it. Cyclops.
James Marsden.
Teddy.
Teddy.
Teddy, thank you. If you're Teddy, yeah, you want to go be a robot in the future. Teddy's life is shit. Hey, how many of y'all just enjoyed the shit out of all the misery that Teddy went through that entire thing?
It felt like his career in Microcosm.
Oh, wow.
It felt to me like...
Poor James Marsden, man.
It felt to me like he was the Eli Manning of this show. I enjoyed the shit out of it. It's just every miserable thing happened to poor Teddy. It's just great. I mean, even when he won in the end, he's still fucking lost.
So on a different note, we were talking about there being other parks with different themes. I would like to see some stuff set in Samurai World or one of the other worlds as well. You know, maybe bring in some new characters,
that could be fun.
Fresh stuff, you know. And, you know, like, given that Samurai World was the only other one shown, you know, maybe some more Asian folks into the cast as well, some more diversity still.
But I'm still struggling with, and I guess you could concoct, I mean, if I can come up with it just sitting right here, right now, that, oh, there's going to be somebody that still wants this park to function, to make money. And so we'll just get rid of Westworld, but keep the rest of the worlds. Then you can see that totally being season two.
Correct. Yeah. Which is actually an argument against your positing that they're going to try and get out in the real world.
Well, I know.
That makes Westworld a battleground because of this corporate interest trying to hang on to their property.
And it also allows the other ones that are sentient that to have that, well, we're breaking out of Westworld, but we ain't getting out in the real world yet. Now you've got multiple seasons. We're going to break into the other world and try and hide in there. Of course,
I'm excited to see Maeve try to pretend she's Asian. I can't wait.
I mean, I think it would be interesting to just kind of just really widen up the setting, like have some of them break into the samurai world, have some of them break into whatever other versions of the parks, and some of them have sneak out into the real world and see the hosts in different settings affected by their different environments. I think I'm sure they can make many seasons of stories with just, you know, flipping the script on your expectations, as they have done in season one, just in a broader context.
How engorged are HBO's programming?
Bank accounts?
Well, the folks that do the programming, that they're coming upon the end of Game of Thrones, and have struck gold here.
Oh, it was fist pumps all around, man.
Oh, yeah, man.
They needed it bad. They're like, oh, shit. Benioff and Weiss are not going to do a season 8. We got to come up with something.
Game of Thrones got me to subscribe to HBO Now. Is that the one?
Yeah.
The streaming
and
only.
And my entire life, I never subscribed to HBO. And the combination of HBO Now plus Game of Thrones. And then, but what'll keep me is I'll stick around for Westworld.
Yeah. For sure.
Wait, you're saying Ballers isn't keeping you around, Key? That's not
Last Week Tonight, baby.
Oh yeah, there you go, that dude.
Yeah, Sesame Street.
Oh yeah, I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, next week they're putting a wall around Sesame Street. I don't know if y'all heard that.
Got to, man. Quick question before I let you guys go, and we close this one out. Can I pitch the next episode to you here live on air?
Oh shit, yeah.
Sure, go for it.
All right, I got 4 words. Fantasy rock band draft.
Oh. Fantasy rock band draft?
Yeah.
So, wait, who are we drafting? What pool are we drafting from?
Right.
Any musician, living or dead.
Oh.
You gotta build an awesome band. You have one starting vocalist, you got a guitarist, you need a bassist, a drummer, and one flex.
Hang on. Hang on. Are you playing? You said you got to start a band. Are you saying you're
build your own supergroup?
Well, wait a minute. Or are you saying you're going to gather a group of musicians together to play rock band?
No, it's the first one.
I honestly thought you were asking for the latter.
I guess the game was called that, but no.
When you say fantasy rock band, I was like,
Gandalf and our selection.
Listen, if Gandalf doesn't go first overall, someone's vocalist, I'm gonna be pissed.
Okay, oh, we really need Riyadh for that one, I think. Because
yeah. And I made him promise before he got off the phone that he'd make time for that one.
Okay. Oh yeah, that's a good one.
Then I'm game.
Oh shit. Hell yes.
I just took up your whole week of free time for Keisha. And I know.
You just ruined my
I'm getting nothing done this week.
I'm not even going to sleep tonight. You think I can let this sit? I can't let such a thing just sit. If I let, oh God. Yeah, I'm toast. I'll be.
Okay, just a preview of something along the wavelength that I'm sitting on here. How far back in time can you go? To pick someone.
Or Christ. History.
Okay. I had everyone game, man. If you Lothar of the Hill people, if you
all
of
human history,
that guy as your drummer.
There was this one guy, Oog, he could bang rocks together like no one could fucking believe back in.
Right.
Okay, gotcha.
Oog, son of Oog, was quite the drummer, yes.
Okay.
Wait till you hear Jesus on bass.
All right. I'm going to allow that, but I think you're going to find that musical was less than historically accurate.
Oh, bullshit.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think that'll be fun.
Oh, my God. Hey, wait a minute. What about names of the bands? Do we have to have names for our band?
I expect nothing less, and I'm sure they're going to be awesome.
Wait a minute. Can we also have a roadie?
A roadie?
Sure.
I think we should be allowed to pick one roadie.
I think that's fair.
Okay. Excellent.
Now, when you say roadie, do you define that for me?
I mean, like, the guy that's your setting up all the mics, setting up all the equipment. Normally you'd have a bunch, but we'll just keep it somewhat simpler.
If you're that knowledgeable about that position, by all means, man, bless it out.
Think of it as like the fantasy rock band's kicker.
Okay.
At some point.
I mean, I gave you a flex.
No. I don't want to. The flex is for another instrument. Or
yeah, I think that's fair.
Back at the same. Yeah. But I'm thinking of a roadie specifically. Like you want to have a roadie. Damn.
Can I pick James Rohde?
Yes, you may.
Okay, that's going to be mine.
Oh, I've got thoughts. Bitch. God, it's a mind worm. It's like humming Suzanne Vega right before you in the park.
Oh, yes. I'm fist pumping like an HBO exec. I feel good about it.
Oh, shit.
This has been Full of Sound and Fury podcast. I have been Cyrus Mordozovi. Follow me, please, at risingimproductions.tumblr.com. With me tonight has been Ariel Rodriguez of Kung Fu Conversations, and yes, you're a writer.
Howdy. Thank you for having me.
And also with us, not going to sleep anymore this evening, is Keyshawn Xavier.
Whore.
All right.
And I'm evidently a whoremonger. This episode and previous episodes of Full of Sound and Fury podcast can be listened to at fulofsoundandfury.com or via subscription to iTunes and or SoundCloud. This has been a Rise Again production, copyright 2017.
These nuts!